and history. And I want to point out to you that 2 years prior to 9/11, Yosef Budansky wrote a book called Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War on America. Nobody wanted to read or buy that book until after 9/11. In 1994, Steve Emerson went out to all the mosques in America and did covert videotapes of imams on U.S. soil calling for the death of U.S. citizens. And it was a PBS broadcast that was widely ignored. Okay? We knew more about bin Laden and terrorism on August 6th from open sources than the intelligence community knew from closed sources, but sock puppet got the sock puppet brief from classified sources that was completely ignorable. And then liaison, business as usual. Your government is excessively dependent on foreign liaison. We allow other governments to tell us what they want us to know, and we are so naive that we really think that's good enough. And it's even worse than that, because I don't think we need to steal secrets against other governments, by and large. I think it's governments against gangs now. That's World War III. But we're so naive, we're not even willing to invest the money in open sources of information. And finally, our mindset is muddled. Now, policy. I guess I've done some of these things in the earlier slide. But policy was the oblivious frog. One of the reasons that I think national security is not playing as big in this run-up to the election is that Bill Clinton had the intellectual runts of the 21st century running his national security policy. Madeleine Albright deliberately repressed reports on terrorism getting worse under Clinton. She did not want the American public to worry. And unfortunately, the American public wasn't willing to notice the barracks bombing in Saudi Arabia, two embassy bombings, the assassination outside CIA, the coal. These were very serious, significant events. And we understood that suicide was an emerging method. And we actually had Senators Hart and Rudman say that hijacking aircraft as flying bombs is a viable means of surprise, attack. But the policy world didn't want to hear it. Dick Clark's book is a fine book. There are a lot of people in the military that hate Dick Clark. There are a lot of people in the intelligence community that hate Dick Clark. I see good in everybody. And I think Dick Clark is 80% right. In his book and his concerns. And by the way, his book also has some success stories. Did you know there's a nuclear bomb in the middle of Atlanta? It's the Georgia University nuclear plant. Okay, Dick Clark and one of his people pointed this out to the FBI in the run-up to the Atlanta Games. And a lot of good things happened in Atlanta security. This is not all negative. But we accepted all of this, and we accepted the lack of action by the nations. Now, this is the global processing failure. This is actually a CIA chart that was given to me. It was made in the late 1990s, and it evaluated the cost versus the satisfaction for measurements and signatures intelligence, imagery intelligence, signals intelligence, state, clandestine intelligence, UMINT, and then OSINT. I added the bullseye. There is no one place in the U.S. government where this all comes together, and you can do a mind map, brimstone, elucidon visualization of this stuff. And to the extent that people are doing visualizations, it's fat-fingering I-2. Doesn't cut it. Okay? By and large, our visualization programs are retarded and way too expensive. Now, this is the real world. In 2002, which is the last year for which I have the stats for everything, there were 23 low-intensity conflicts killing over 1,000 people each between states, 79 conflicts between states killing fewer than 1,000 people, and 175 violent political conflicts internal to states. There were 18 genocide campaigns going on in 2002. And if you really want to get into genocide, I will tell you two things. First, the Holocaust Museum pisses me off because it only has one Holocaust. Okay? There have actually been 72 Holocausts, and there are 18 of them going on right now. And I think we need to understand that genocide is not exclusively Jewish. It is actually an international problem. And we tend to ignore the black genocides, and that troubles me also. Dr. Greg Stanton, GenocideWatch.com, is the living authority on all of this. I encourage you to visit his website. And he talks about how all genocides are predictable. There are the 8 stages of genocide, including the early stages when you vilify people. And you kind of begin the propaganda of setting the stage for killing these alien intruders. Genocide is preventable. We've chosen not to prevent it in too many cases. I just finished reviewing General Dallier's book in Rwanda. 8 nations, I think it was 8 nations, including Belgium, the United States, explicitly said that saving the lives of hundreds of thousands of Rwandans was not worth one single additional Western life to be risked. That is a travesty. That is a loss of humanity on a scale beyond comprehension. We're going to run out of water. This is the world of water. And you'll note that the water scarcity coincides with the ethnic fault lines between Europe and Muslim North Arab Arabia and between Russia and China. Other global threats to local survival. My wife calls me gloom and doom, by the way. This is my cheerful brief. Other threats to global survival include complex emergencies involving 32 countries. These are called failed states. Millions and millions of displaced refugees in 66 countries, with all of the attendant crime, corruption, and so on that comes, disease that comes with that. Starvation in 33 countries. Modern plagues in 59 countries and rising.